This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It's a sports station. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in the cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say you
Tuesday. All right, yeah, good news today. Fishman's back. He's a little under the weather, I'll be honest, but we haven't had Fishman for 2 weeks. It's Fish on Friday on Tuesday, and yet for two Tuesdays, no Fishman. And so we got Fishman back. We got Chris Harrington. He's old reliable. He'll join us straight up at 10 o'clock. We haven't talked to Fishman about Elon Musk and the massive computer that is coming to Memphis. And I am interested in his reaction to that. Because here's the thing about Fishman. He's a follower of AI and economic developments and all of that. But he also has written one of the best-selling books in the country on water. And one of the concerns is, you know, the aquifer. And so we'll be able to talk to Fishman about all of that in the second hour. So that's the lineup. We got Chris Harrington and then Charles Fishman. We will get to, I think, probably next segment. Maybe just in a little bit. But I wrote a column today about the Memphis AD search that I want to talk about at some point, because, and we touched on this yesterday, Jeffrey, glancingly, but only glancingly, and then I wrote a column about it. There are lots of things, if you were the aspiring to be the Memphis athletic director. There are lots of things that you would want to know about the job, right?
Pay. For sure.
Pay, for example, yeah. Right? One would be pay. One would be the institutional support, the donor support, the aspirations to get in a Power 5 conference, like all kinds of questions that you would have, what your internal budget is, what your fundraising expectations are, what your staff's going to, like all kinds of questions you would have. But one of the really significant questions I would have is, what's up with Penny Hardaway?
Absolutely.
And maybe I don't think we've talked about it that much, and I think we should. And to some, it's funny. I tweeted out the column, and I put the column up on Facebook. I have not been on Twitter since, because I just didn't want to see the reaction, and I haven't read the comments. There are those who will say, I'm certain that it's disrespectful to even write such a column, because part of writing such a column is asking the question, okay, what's up with Penny Hardaway? How long will he stay in the job? Will he ultimately, if he doesn't succeed, will he walk away from the job? What are his chances of turning it around? Is he going to get it turned around? As when he's rolling, he's a huge asset to the athletic department. Can we imagine that happening? But one of the things you have to imagine is, what happens if he has an unsuccessful year? Are we going to make a change from Penny Hardaway? Am I going to be the one to make a change from Penny Hardaway? What's the appetite for that? What's that going to look like? It's just literally, as you think about your next, whatever, 5 years as the AD, it's one of the possibilities. Can we not admit that, Jeffrey? It's one of the possibilities that's on the horizon.
100%.
And so I think you'd have to talk about that and ask questions about that and think about that. And so we'll get to that in the second segment of this hour. Simultaneously, John Martin wrote a really interesting piece about what he sees as the pros and cons of the Memphis job. So we'll talk about all of that and other matters as the show unfolds. But before that, I did think we should celebrate the Boston Celtics winning their 18th title. Not sure what the hell that would be like. It's been five and a half long years, Jeffrey, since a team from Boston won a title. The suffering is over.
I hate that for them.
The suffering is over. But as I look at the Celtics and look back on the year that was, I can only say good riddance.
Yeah, to this season.
What a terrible, terrible NBA season. And yes, I am looking at it through the prism of the Memphis Grizzlies. But I just think generally this was a terrible NBA season.
Yeah, this is the question I was kind of struggling with for most of the playoffs. It's like, have the playoffs been good? Anecdotally, my feeling is no. I don't feel like we've had many great series. I can't even really remember that many great games. There were a few early between the Sixers and the Knicks, like that was a fun series. The Nuggets and Lakers.
There were some in the Mavs Timberwolves. You know, there were some moments there. But I do want to start with our Grizzlies.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be glad it's over. Now it's formally over. Now we're
on to the draft, Jeff.
We are, as you put it, we are now formally on to next year.
We're on to the draft.
Thank God.
24-year-olds.
From a Memphis perspective, this was a just dismal year. Just dismal year, largely because of injury. And I think if you were to pick out, Jeffrey, if you go all the way back to this time last year, okay? One of the lowest moments for the Grizzlies. Is it in fact when you heard Steven Adams was out? Or is it, I think it's when you heard Ja was out for the year. Ja came back, Ja out for the year. Lowest moment?
See, I actually would go back to the Steven Adams day.
That certainly set the table.
Because while the jaw injury was like the nail in the coffin.
No, that's when everything changed.
The Steven Adams injury was that you had talked yourself into, okay, it's 25 games. We'd done the move where you go through the schedule and you're like, you know, the NBA kind of did them a little bit of a favor. The first 25 games, there's about half of the games that are against teams that are not playoff caliber teams. And you thought, just survive that. By the time that Ja had come back, they had done such poor work that if you were realistic and you understood what was actually in front of them.
It's fine, but we still had New Orleans. We had Ja, we had New Orleans, and then
the Adams gut punch was the one that.
And the other thing about the Adams, I'm talking about this year that I'm so glad it's over, that was 2 days before the start. Like, it was perfect. It framed the season. It was a Sunday morning.
I think the season started on Wednesday, right?
I was leaving Hog and Hominy.
I was at the line at Whataburger.
And this is like the. I don't want to equate these, but it's like the JFK
correct
moment.
Where
or the
were you,
Challenger?
Yeah.
Or Steven Adams out for the year.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, good God. And that was literally on the cusp of this year that delivered nothing but misery and all those poor season ticket holders who's had to sit through this schlock. It was a disaster of a year. And you had that. You had Jaren for obvious reasons, because he was asked to do too much and surrounded by too little, regressing really in terms of efficiency defensively, all of it. Like, not a great year for Jaren Jackson Jr. He did play. So there was that part, right? Your jaw making his return, then gone again. Dez, injury. Marcus Smart, injury. Like, the whole thing. And then so there, here we are. The only positives, Vince Williams, which I think is an... We had no idea this time last year that Vince Williams would be factoring in the way it was. I was discussing this with my son Peter. He really he belongs to the school that thinks he should be a starter next year, not Marcus Smart. And I think that's a very well regarded school. That school, there's a lot of smart people in that school. So we had Gigi, and the fact that people get so enraged if you ever say Gigi's not going to be an All NBA player shows how much the or may not be an All NBA player shows how important Gigi is. You know, at the end of Titanic, where she's holding on to that little shard, that little thing, that whatever it is she's floating on.
I think it was a door, yeah.
Was it a door?
Yeah, there was definitely room for two.
Gigi's the door. The whole thing is sunk.
There was room for two.
There was definitely room for two.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing has sunk, and Gigi's all we got left, just clinging to Gigi as the one thing from this season. So from the Grizzlies' perspective, absolutely dismal. Then you look beyond the league. Before we get to the playoffs, what was great?
Oh boy, what was great this year?
I'll tell you what was great.
I mean, Anthony Edwards, I think, was pretty good for most of the
year. You know what was great? What was great was the Lakers and the Warriors are cooked. This year was, and if you like this, if you enjoy this, this was the changing of the guard year. It was the old superstar, you know, behemoths are no longer that. And in fact, even if you look around, who was in the NBA Finals? It was
Boston and Dallas.
Boston and Dallas, each of whom have mid-20s, are led by players in their mid-20s, right?
Yeah, the notes were, this was the first conference second round, so this conference semifinals without LeBron, Durant, or Curry since 06. It was, there was one about, like, the average leading scores through that point were, like, 20 under 25.
But that says something. The year is remembered for who wasn't good anymore,
yes,
as opposed to who was great. You know, this wasn't the 70-win Warrior team, or like this wasn't some incandescent performance by a particular player. This was a year. Jokic was obviously great, but this was a year that was defined by, well, they're not really that threatening anymore. Oh, well, he's kind of looking over the hill, or like that's what we got. And then you got Wemby. Wemby, big part of this year, but not cooked yet, right? Thank God, by the way, for the Grizzlies. Not fully, and the team around him, not fully ready yet.
Yeah, the statistic was the average age of the leading scorer for each team in the conference finals, Tatum, Halliburton, Edwards, Doncic, was 24.6. It's the youngest in a conference final since 1971.
So it's like it's a changing of the guard year. And maybe that's why we say it wasn't so great, because we don't attach sort of legendary greatness to these players yet. We may in time. Look how long it actually took Michael Jordan to win a title, right? You may in time attach legendary greatness to these players. But that's what the season was about. It was about the Grizzlies falling apart from the Memphis perspective. It was about look at the Warriors. They're getting old. Draymond's still crazy, but they're getting old. Or a jackass, or however you want to phrase that. Lakers, I don't see it from them anymore. Kawhi and the Clippers, nice little last gasp, but we're not really believing that anymore. Dame goes to Milwaukee. That didn't really work out. It was marked by failure as much as anything else. Then you get to the playoffs, and in the playoffs, what was great? Really, let's be honest. The two conference finals, totally one sided, and the NBA finals, totally one sided. And so we're left with Jalen Brunson, right? He was magnificent back for a little bit in there until they fell apart. You left with Ant against Denver, and you're left with Jalen Brunson, and you're left with with Luka against Minnesota.
Yep.
And then you're the inevitability of the Celtics, who, as great hat tip to the Celtics, best team all year, unquestionably, didn't have to beat a team in the playoffs to win 50 games.
Yeah, I mean, I think the way that I kind of netted out was, I did not find it a particularly great playoffs. With that said, clearly the right team won.
Clearly the right team won.
The team that was the best 100% team all year.
And
I think if I'm looking for positives from the regular season that you were asking, it did feel like this year that the regular season mattered in the sense of it rewarded the teams that had played well during the year. And in the end, why did Boston get an easy path? They only won 64 games.
But it's not just that they won 64 games. It's that the teams around them weren't any good.
For sure.
The easy path was that as well. We also saw the emergence of Oklahoma City.
Yep.
We saw the emergence of Minnesota. There were things that unfolded that were intriguing and interesting. But it was not a great year. In terms of last night, you got Jason Tatum has more points, rebounds, and assists than Jalen Brown and is not the MVP, which is fine. I don't have any problem with it. Jason Tatum shot 38% from the field for the series, right?
The bigger story was they dominated despite the fact that Tatum didn't shoot the ball great.
Tatum shot 26% from three, 38% for the series. Brown shot 23% from three, and they won.
Yeah,
and they won convincingly. They got a guy they can bring off the bench who's going to hit half pointers. That's a good weapon to have.
Yeah,
you know. It was not a. It was the perfect end to the season because it was not an interesting game. And I didn't think, with all due respect, whatever else. I mean, the season holds what it holds, and there are interesting things in every season. But maybe I'm spoiled by the fact that this was. I look at it through the Grizzlies prism. Not a season that I will look back on with great affection. We did have Xavier Tillman getting a ring. You know, that was the perfect circumstance, though, for one of your players to go on and win a ring somewhere else.
Right.
Like
getting a DNP in the closeout game.
Yeah. Sometimes. Well, there are a few moments when that happens when you're just really happy for that player.
Yeah.
The Marc Gasol example.
Yeah.
Right? The Marc Gasol example where you're really happy for that player because they gave everything to your team. You aren't competitive at that point. You know it's just sort of a capper and you're happy for him, whatever else. More often, at least my experience, this is my Buffalo experience, more often I resent the fact that the team that a player who played for Buffalo goes on and wins a title somewhere else that they couldn't win at Buffalo. And so whether it's Jack Eichel in Las Vegas or basically the entire Florida Panther team now or whatever else, I hate when players who couldn't get it done in Buffalo and then walked or were discarded go on to win championships somewhere else. I resent them for it. But
I pointed out to you when Aaliyah was watching the Four Falls of Buffalo for the first time, the Buffalo Bills 30 for 30, I'd completely forgotten what a ring chaser Don Beebe was.
Don Beebe, big ring chaser, yeah. Yeah, but when it's a guy who gets the ring, who we really liked here, there was nothing, like Tillman, one of the great, really good guys, sort of symbolized by taking his kids to school and hanging with them and going on field trips and volunteering, asking to go down to the G League when he wasn't getting regular playing time with the Grizzlies so he could stay ready. Like, perfect, great guy. So I want nothing but good things for Tillman, but I didn't have to agonize about the Grizzlies letting him walk because, was not a factor.
Yes.
Was not a factor. So happy for him. Holding his kids, the aforementioned children, that was great. Seeing that, happy for him. But that was...
Xavier falls into that category of closest thing that I could say to, like, a regular dad that's a professional athlete. Like, he falls into that category.
He seems like a regular dad who was a professional athlete. And so I think that's about enough for this year. That it? Can we wrap that up? You wrap that up and move on to next year really quickly?
If we want to just kick everyone in the nuts one more time, I think we're also leaving out the fact that, like, we talked ourselves into maybe getting lucky in the lottery, and then they fall in the lottery.
Yeah, lottery was a... I mean, in the end, it was hard to get too excited about the lottery.
Yeah, I know, but at the same time, it was like, yeah, they could have at least maintained.
But now I want to look at the Grizzlies and the NBA next year.
All right.
Okay? And what did strike me is the Celtics won the title last night with... built around players who were drafted number three in 2016 and 2017, right? They have reached their zenith. Here they are. Now, maybe not their zenith, but they're now in the prime of their careers, right? They were drafted in 2016 and 2017, and they went through the fires, and a lot of things happened that had to happen around them, but now here they are winning the title. You know who was drafted number four in 2018, the very next year? Jaren Jackson Jr. And number two in 2019, the year after that?
That'd be Ja Morant.
That would be Ja Morant. And then number 30 in 2020, the year after that?
Desmond Bane. Who is Desmond Bane?
So you've got, when we talk about the next 2 years being the window for the Grizzlies... That's largely been built around Jaren is going to be a free agent after 2 years. And the way the contract is structured and the rules about how much you can pay him when you're extending someone, he is going to go into free agency. Now, he may re-sign with the Grizzlies at that point. But the reason, and Chris talks about this all the time, the reason that that you focus on these next 2 years is we know Jaren, barring a trade, whatever, is here for the next 2 years. But it also lines up. Like, the next 2 years for the Grizzlies are the equivalent of the last 2 years for the Celtics. In terms of the ages of their core players, over the next 2 years, will line up with where the Celtics have been over the last 2 years. This is the moment. They have reached middle age. They are in the prime of their careers. Particularly, Ja, you don't know how long he's going to hold up physically, right?
He's an undersized guard that plays a very physical game.
Plays by flying through the sky. Jaren, who has had his own injury issues, Desmond has had his own issues. This is the moment. And they are literally, Tatum and Brown, 2016 and 2017, Jaren the next draft, Ja the next draft, Bane the next draft. Here we are. We are at the moment. It doesn't feel like that because the Celtics accomplished more. Even... before they won the title. Like, they were in it, right? In a way that they were going to conference finals in a way that the Grizzlies have not been.
Despite the fact they were disappointing last year, they were in the conference finals.
The other thing, though, is that if you put two players of the caliber, not necessarily these exact skill sets, if you put two players of the caliber of Jrue Holiday and Derek White on the Grizzlies, wouldn't you immediately think they are a title threat?
Absolutely.
So, they obviously built around around their draft picks, but my God!
They had two great deals, as you point out. Like, the Porzingis deal was a cheap deal that worked out.
The Derek White deal, the Jrue Holiday deal.
They're all cheap deals that worked out.
And here's the other thing: all their deals did not work out. Like,
for sure,
they kept among the players who have played for basically the Celtics. Another version of the Tatum Brown Celtics are Marcus Smart. They moved on from him. Gordon Hayward moved on from him. Kyrie moved on from him. Grant Williams, he was in the building last night. He was in the locker room celebrating last night. Moved on from him. Robert Williams moved on from him. Malcolm Brogdon moved on from him. They cycled through players around their stars until they hit on the right group. And that brings us to the Grizzlies, because that is the task, right? That is the task. Now, maybe Vince Williams will be, you know, their Drew Holiday, Derek White. I don't see G. Jackson next year being certainly in that category, but that's the goal for the, it has to be the goal for the Grizzlies administration. Now, if you look at the betting markets for next year, who would you say, without looking at the betting markets, give me, name five teams who are going to win the title in order, most likely to win the title next year. Who would you put?
Am I setting my betting market, or are you
asking setting,
to
No, you're it? Setting yours. You're setting yours.
I mean, Boston has to be a favorite.
But if you put Denver in the East and Boston in the West, you'd make Denver the favorite.
I still think I'd actually
really?
Have. I think I'd have Boston. I think if Denver would have gotten to the finals, they would have given a more competitive series. I still think Boston.
I think they would have lost, but I'd expect Denver to be better next year. I expect Denver to address their. This is.
I agree, but they haven't proven that
they're going to
do it yet.
And they've got some issues they've got to sort out. So anyway, so you put Celtics number one, and they are of course number one in the. You can look different places. When I looked at, they're +310.
Yeah, I think I saw +280 at ESPN Bet. So number two,
Summer,
is
who's
Denver.
The second favorite? Denver would
Denver's
be your second
number two.
Favorite. Also, I saw +750 Denver as the second favorite. Who else would be in your top five to win the title next season?
I understand all the issues that the Bucks had this year, the turmoil, the lack of defense, whatnot. I still think if Giannis comes back and if they can be healthy.
They have one of the best players in the world, right? And they
correct.
Have one of the best players in the world. And so, I mean, who knows how the Dame thing's going to work. But they would absolutely be in my top five. There are, at least according to the odds I looked at, there are two teams.
I think a lot of people are banking because the Sixers have so much cap room that they're going to be able to do it. So I think I would put them in there. And I think also I kind of lean towards the East because
Sixers are so interesting because you're literally just betting on what they might do.
Correct.
They don't even have any players now, right?
They have two, I think.
If I was to say, I have to name five teams and one of them is going to win a title, I would definitely say the Celtics and Denver and the Bucks. And then I think I might, like, between the OKC, Dallas, Minnesota.
I mean, like, to me, it's like all those teams all kind of have questions.
Well, they all definitely have questions, but we got to pick another other team that's going to go in our top five. So does Philadelphia. Huge questions.
I think I would.
Embiid's injury, and what's the rest of the team? Are they going to get Paul George?
Yeah, I think I would go with Dallas. And the reason why I would go with Dallas in the end is, like, For all the discourse about Luka, he has gotten a team to the Western Conference Finals twice and won one of them. And he's had five straight years being first-team All-NBA. And I don't particularly think this team was all that great around him. And I think they can get a little better. So I would have them.
How about the Thunder?
To me, the Thunder are in the exact same spot that the Grizzlies were in 22. Like, You've been fun, you've been exciting, but like when you got to the big stage, you showed you weren't ready for it. And
yes, but they'll be a year older.
They'll be a year older, but
Jeff fell apart with injury.
Success is not linear.
Success is not linear. Here we have, according to the betting market, Celtics, then the Nuggets, then the Mavs and Thunder tied, then the Bucks and Timberwolves tied. Okay? Now, these teams also ahead of the Grizzlies. And tell me if they should be. Not if they should be in terms of betting price, but in terms of likelihood of actually winning, your assessment of likelihood of winning the title. Okay? Knicks, more likely to win the title next year than the Grizzlies?
No, because they're not going to win the East.
They are +1,600. 76ers, more likely to win than the Grizzlies? I think so, right?
I can
just because they have Embiid and
they have an MVP.
And you can imagine them creating stuff around him, right? You can imagine. Clippers, more likely to win the title than the Grizzlies? Warriors, more likely to win the title than the Grizzlies?
No.
Lakers, more likely to win the title than the Grizzlies?
No.
Suns, more likely to win the title than the Grizzlies?
No.
All of those, Heat, more likely to win the title than the Grizzlies?
No.
All of those have shorter odds than the Grizzlies. Then come the Grizzlies. Grizzlies plus 4,000 ahead of the Cavs, the Pacers, the Magic, the Pelicans.
So do you
follow?
Can you count real quick? Where would that be? Would that
13 teams more? 13 teams are ahead of the Grizzlies. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 teams ahead of the Grizzlies. Grizzlies would be 14th, total, basically smack in the middle of the league.
Which is fine in terms of a betting market, because I do think it is fair to also say, while we would expect all these guys to come back healthy, like, we still haven't seen it yet.
Well, and even if they are healthy,
they got to stay healthy.
Even if they are healthy, they got to beat Denver, they got to beat Minnesota, they got to beat Dallas, they got to beat, like, some collection of these teams. Like, they have to be healthy, and they have to be better, even before you then have to beat the Celtics. You've got to be better than all of those teams. Do I really believe, like, right now, would I project the Grizzlies to be ahead of Minnesota next year? No. And I'm a believer. But would I pick them ahead of Minnesota? No. Would I pick them ahead of Dallas? No, actually, I wouldn't. Would I pick them ahead of, would I pick them ahead of the Nuggets? Certainly not. Would I pick them ahead of the Clippers? Yes. The Warriors? Yes. The Lakers? Yes. And those teams are ahead of them.
Yeah.
The Thunder? No, I wouldn't pick them ahead of the Thunder.
Well, I mean, to me, a big part of this is, okay, what does a team like Minnesota do? Do they try to add? Do they try to run it back? Are they going to have to try to subtract?
There are clearly questions here. If I'm assuming what they talk about is running it back. So I'm assuming they're not going to do the financial surgery that some project. But there you go. We'll talk more about this with Chris Harrington. We got Fish on Friday on Tuesday coming up in the second hour. When we come back, we will talk about the Memphis AD search, Penny Hardaway, and all the rest. It is the Jeff Calkins Show. If you are if you're getting something framed, it's right in the name. Frame Corner Memphis is the name of the place, 5035 Park Avenue. You can buy a frame if you like, but what they're really good at is custom framing. They can take whatever you bring there, photos, memorabilia, sports memorabilia, fishing lures, whatever it is, and create a stunning, stunning frame and it, really a piece of art for you going forward, to hang in your house, to give to someone as a gift, to pass down through the generations. They frame memories at the Frame Corner. It's framecornermemphis.com, 5035 Park Avenue. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, It can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Jason and John.
Straight out of White Station and a U of M to your speaker. Jason and John.
These guys know hoops. It's how I get through the workday.
Unsportsmanlike mornings. The Jeff Calkins Show. Jason and John. Giannotto and Jeffrey. The Gabe Kuhn Show afternoon.
92.9
FM ESPN.
Free is key during Craftsman Days at Lowe's. Right now, get one free select V20 tool when you buy a select battery 2-pack. Plus, get your choice of a V20 drill or impact driver kit for $69. Don't miss your chance to save on the high-quality, high-performance tools you need during Craftsman Days. Because Lowe's knows tools. Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid through 6/19. While supplies last. Selection varies by location.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Listen, we all love sports. That's why we're here. We love them so much, we never want them to stop. But as the playoffs wind down before football cranks up, there are fewer and fewer games. FanDuel, however, lets you keep the sports going whenever you want. All you have to do is open that app up and dream up bets anytime you're in the mood. And this summer, FanDuel is hooking up all customers. That's not just new customers. That's all customers with a boost or a bonus daily. That's right. There's something for everyone every day, all summer long. It's over at FanDuel. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/Calkins. That's the promo code, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, and start making the most of your summer. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Opt-in required. Wager requirements apply. Bonuses awarded as non-withdrawable bonus bets or profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including bonus expirations. See terms and conditions at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Hey, it's Jeff Calkins. You know when people ask if you have a good dentist to recommend? Well, I have a great dentist. It's Mehdi Sadeghi at the Smile Center. I've been going to the Smile Center for years now. My 3 boys all go there too. Mehdi is skilled, he's cheerful, and has always found time when emergencies arise. I honestly couldn't imagine a better dentistry practice than the Smile Center. It's where I send all my friends. So if you're looking for a great dentist, go where my family goes. The Smile Center is conveniently located in Germantown, or you can check them out online at smilecentermemphis.com.
Tired of hearing scary ads about the IRS? Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. We may be able to significantly reduce and even eliminate what you owe to the IRS. Taxpayers should know. Huge savings are now being made available through the Fresh Start program that can drastically reduce the amount you will owe if you qualify. Even if you haven't filed your taxes in years or are facing wage garnishment, liens, levies, or under audit, we can help. We've earned over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today. To see what savings you may qualify for, visit us online at TRA.com or call us at 800-511-0379. 800-511-0379. Again, that's 800-511-0379. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
Zaxby's has been perfecting chicken fingers for 30 years. So what now? Now we go to the sea. Introducing the Southern Fried Shrimp Meal. With butterfly shrimp that's perfectly golden fried. A perfect blend of cocktail sauce and Zax sauce that we call Zax Tail Sauce. Plus perfectly seasoned crinkle fries. Perfectly buttery Texas toast. And even a drink with perfectly pebbled ice. Here's to 30 more years of perfect. The new Southern Fried Shrimp Meal at Zaxby's. Woo, saucy! Zaxby's.
All 650 acquisition fee, Telluride, RG510849, MSRP 38305, Forte, LXS, RE780, 169, MSRP 21820. Includes all rebates and incentives, must finance through Hyundai, excludes tax, title, and license. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through 6/30/2024 with approved credit, dealer stock only.
Hey, Jeff, I hear you've got the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event going on right now at Gossett Kia South on Mount Moriah. Give me some scoop.
Randy, the scoop is I'm ready to put you in a new Kia for less. 2024 Kia Forte LXS, 41 MPG Highway, $199 a month. $34.99 due at signing. How about a 2024 Kia Telluride LX $357 a month? $39.99 due at signing, 24-month lease.
Plus 0% for 48 months on 2024 EV9. And every Gossett Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty.
So whether you live in Horn Lake, South Haven, Olive Branch, or Memphis, you'll be happy, happy at Gossett Kia South on Mount Moriah.
Gossett Kia South, 2680 Mount Moriah, or online anytime. Kia Mount Moriah.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online at hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation to determine the ED medication that's best for you. Discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and a range of treatment options, including trusted generic alternatives to the name brands, at up to 95% off. ED is personal, and at Hims, so is treating it. Just go to hims.com/joy and get connected to a licensed medical provider online for free. With zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit, hims.com/joy.
Our lives aren't like they used to be. They're busier. Early morning Zooms, grabbing coffee to make that in-office meeting, getting to your kid's soccer game on time. Life is different, and so is advertising. To reach any audience, you need your message out there in all media, broadcast to streaming, on screens, and right to the ears of your customers. And that's what we do at Odyssey. Let's build a media campaign that targets the customers you know and want to reach more of, right here in our community. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
92.9 FM ESPN commemorates Juneteenth, a day of reflection and celebration, honoring emancipation, moving forward in liberation, and exploring the significance of Juneteenth in Memphis and in today's world.
Triumph and goodness in Memphis and America.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Josh Hysaw would be the person to call. Josh Hysaw and his team at Keller Williams Realty. Josh, among other things, guarantees that he will, if this is what the direction you want to go, get a cash offer within 24 hours. You can head on over to his website and see what your house is worth. Just put your address. You'll see what it's worth. I've done that. But anyway, so it's convenient, particularly if you're just someone who doesn't want to, you know, as I've been telling you about this woman named Angie whose son had a house, and it was kind of slightly in disrepair, and you don't want to deal with fixing it up and having all these open houses or people drop. And so they called Josh, and within, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, the deal was closed. Couldn't have been more thrilled. Josh will do that for you. Flexible fees, no upfront cost. Let you out of your contract anytime. It is Josh Hysaw, 901-461-8147. Josh Hysaw, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. We have breaking news, Jeffrey, and that is that Justin Timberlake arrested for DUI. Do you call it DUI? DWI? What do we call it down here?
I mean, I've always said DUI, but I mean, I think it varies state by state. It appears that he has been charged with DWI.
DWI. What are the particulars?
This, according to Good Morning America, singer Justin Timberlake has been arrested for driving while intoxicated in the Hamptons, a law enforcement official told ABC News. The arrest occurred Monday night in Sag Harbor, New York. The pop star will be in court on Tuesday. ABC News has reached out to Timberlake's representatives for comment.
Shouldn't drive drunk, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. I've done it. I've done it in my youth. I did it in my youth. I imagine what happens is you just don't think you're going to get, you're out there in Sag Harbor. You want to call an Uber, but he's Justin Timberlake. Couldn't he have a driver?
That's the always thing that struck me about super famous people. It's one thing for like, you know, normal people, but it's like,
here's the thing. If you got
a payroll,
right. You got all these people are doing happy. You've got all the money in the world. Now, do you want to have those people sitting around waiting for you to go from place to place? I think you do. Like, that's what they do. That's what they get paid for. If you are someone who you go somewhere and you have three beers or four beers, right? And you're like, you drove there, okay? And you're in Memphis and you drove there. You're like, it's four beers. I can get home. Like, I'm not taking an Uber and then coming back and get... That's a calculus that people do in their heads, don't you think?
Like, oh, for sure.
It's better to plan ahead and say, listen, I'm going to drink tonight. I'll just take an Uber the whole time. Or I'll go with someone who isn't drinking, right?
It's also one of those ones where it's like, I kind of need more details than what we've got. Like, I need to, did he wreck into something? Like, did he
have a taillight? I think we have to be able to acknowledge it's stupid, though, right?
I mean, I do think it's stupid, but at the same time, we find
even
out
reckless.
That, like,
if
he blew a .08, like, I don't know. Like, you sit there, you're doing the math. You're like, if I would have waited 20 minutes, am I fine? Like,
but then what? So what? Did they pull him over because it was a...
I mean, what if his taillight? I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I need more information here.
I'm willing to say DUI, stupid. Stupid means you were stupid.
I definitely...
One way or another.
I definitely agree. Particularly if you are rich and you have ways around this.
Yeah. So, although for any of us, me included,
DUI, I get it,
stupid.
But
I do want to talk about the piece that I wrote for the Daily Memphian. John Martin has a piece up at the Daily Memphian I'd urge you to look at as well. And I was just thinking, the way this came about was, I was literally thinking about the ADs. You know, we reported at the Daily Memphian about the candidates who were going to be interviewed over Zoom starting this week. And I was thinking about the things you would want to know, the questions they would have for you, the questions you would have for them. And we don't talk about this much because we all love Penny Hardaway and want him to flourish. But one of the questions, and not he's not in the positive side of the ledger anymore, can be back in the positive side of the ledger. But right now, one of the questions I would have is, what's up with Penny Hardaway? And it's a difficult topic. Unquestionably, it's a difficult topic. But what I remembered was, when I first took this job, R.C. Johnson had just come on as athletic director. I actually started almost the exact same time. I started in January. He was hired in December of 95 and started in February of 96. I started in January of 96. There was a game at DePaul. It was his first game that he was at as AD. And I basically spent that night with him, hanging out with the new AD, what he thought of Memphis basketball. I think Memphis won by a point or something like that at DePaul that game, that year. That Memphis team with Lorenzen Wright, that team was ranked in the top 25 all year long. They were, they lost to UMass. They got beat badly by Georgetown. So they didn't stay in the top 10 all year, but they were in the top 10. And then they lost in the end to Drexel in the NCAA tournament in a cataclysmic ending. But when RC took that job, he had no idea that in the next year he would be called upon to give Larry Finch, the most beloved player and significant player in this program's history, his walking papers, to buy out Larry Finch. Here, you're the new AD in Memphis. All you have to do is fire, essentially, the most popular player who is an important and culturally significant player who has ever played for that program. Knock yourself out. And it went about as you would have imagined. It was ugly. There were a lot of charges of racism. It was racially divisive. A lot of criticism of how it was handled, the story about the hot dog stand, etc. It was brutal. RC actually ultimately recovered. Listen, I don't think RC is held in high regard, particularly now, because he missed that football was overtaking basketball and conference realignment stuff, right? Although, I'll say this about RC. I don't know, even if he had been pounding the table to pour money in football instead of basketball, if it had gone anywhere, the way that the what people cared about, in that he was hired to have to build a great basketball program. That's what people cared about. I don't know that he could have done what Tom Jurich did at Louisville and persuade people to, no. What we really got to do is focus on football. I think they would say, are you crazy? We blame RC for that, but I don't know if we should. Anyway, from a basketball perspective, he recovered because he ultimately hired John Calipari, and Calipari won at such a tremendous level.
Yes.
But it was ugly. And there was no way he could have seen that coming with Larry Finch. This AD, one of the things that you tell me, if next year they don't make the tournament again, and they don't make the tournament like decisively, it's not like they, you know, they're sitting there on Sunday and get shafted. They don't make the tournament. They have a year like this year, not exactly, because they're not going to have the non-conference success and then the conference failure, but they very clearly don't make the tournament. They don't even make the title game, and they're turning down the NIT again because they're too good for the NIT or whatever post game would invite them. At that point, with one NCAA victory in 7 years and two NCAA tournaments in 7 years, not close to the success, for example, that Josh Pastner had, at that point, would you have to think about parting ways with Penny Hardaway?
I mean, I think the real question that we need to ask is, who are my decision makers? Because there is also this element with an AD. Like, oftentimes you are a figurehead, heat position, doing the work.
Yeah, but you're going to have to get the person who's going to walk in there and do it. Like, you're going to be the person who is...
Right, but most ADs...
Can we at least do this? Can we contemplate that is among the things that an AD might have to do in the next year?
I'm not pushing back on you. Right. What I'm saying is, I was playing it out that you laid out that season. If I'm in that position, I'm calling a meeting and I'm saying, what do y'all want?
Right. I think that's true. Like, in the end, you are not making that decision yourself. That's
not
very
unilaterally.
The president, Fred, the board of everyone would be involved in that decision.
Yes.
I agree completely. But as the AD, you would have to be the guy. You would be blamed by the people who thought it was unfair or racially charged or whatever else. You would be blamed with that decision, and it would be ugly. Even if he has a bad year next year. Well, first of all, let me ask you this. Is a bad year next year possible, or a totally mediocre year possible, within the range of possibilities missing the tournament next year?
I don't foresee like a collapse.
No. I'm just talking about missing the tournament year.
The type of year that you're talking about, like, I think it's entirely possible that this league ends up being a one-bid league. And so we've already talked about the non-conference schedule. Like, if you went 500 in most of that, I'd sit there and go, there's probably a couple of decent wins in there, but that's 500. And so now you're talking about having to run through conference play, something they've never done under Penny Hardaway, and then win the conference tournament. And so, like, do I think that they can do that? Sure. Would I bet on it? No. So the situation you're laying out is an NIT team.
I think the idea that they will be I've said all along, I think they're going to make the tournament, so I won't back off of that now. But the idea that they might just have a perfectly okay year and miss the tournament is, whatever. Maybe if I'm saying they're going to make the tournament, it's 52-48.
Sure.
Right? It's not, no, this isn't like 90, they're practically a guarantee for the tournament. What we're talking about here is absolutely within the realm of possibility, not just within the realm of possibility. It is one of the real likelihoods that you could be faced with this. And so what do you do? And like, maybe Penny, I think there's a scenario where in that circumstance, or even before then, he would say, my mom's sick, I'm going to step away.
I just don't see that happening.
And so then you got to fire Penny Hardaway?
I mean, I think that this is the this also goes hand in hand with the decision when you made the commitment, we're hiring Penny Hardaway. You're going to kind of see it through the end.
Some knew that this was within the realm of possibilities. Like, some said, don't hire Penny because you might have to do this someday.
Correct.
And I rejected that. That is not a reason not to take a swing because what if things go wrong? And by the way, the hope here, of course, for everybody is, although we're talking about this within the realm of possibility, the very clear hope is that this is the year.
Yes.
When he finally, absolutely figures it out and is able to tell me, because I even dared to write this column wondering what might happen, stuff it. But tell me again, right? Like, I think that's what we're all hoping for, is that he has a killer year and that he goes back to the tournament. And then Penny Hardaway, as he has been since the moment he first set foot on campus, is an asset. Let's be honest. The guy is an incredible Memphian. He's a great ambassador. He took the job for selfless reasons. All of those things, I 100% believe. And if he can get it going again, which is everybody's hope, then he becomes an asset for the new AD. But we're talking about what an AD has to consider as they're thinking about taking this job. And what he has to consider is also the downside, what might happen if not. And part of the downside is this NCAA investigation.
Yes.
Let's revisit. What we know is that Malcolm Dandridge disappeared in the middle of the season.
Yeah, towards the end of the season, yeah.
Because of, quote-unquote, eligibility issues.
Correct.
And we also know that the academic advisor for basketball was canned the day before that news was released.
Yes.
And that's all we know.
Yes.
We also know, I say that's all we know, we also do, by way of background, know that Memphis was on probation because of the James Wiseman stuff. Then they got a couple, it was through September of 2025. And then when there were the separate recruiting violations that got Penny suspended for 3 games, that year of probation was extended another year.
Yep.
So they're kind of on double probation. They're a little bit on double probation. And
yeah, they were in a contract year.
They've had two issues.
They got franchise tagged.
What happens if they come back? What happens? I have no idea. Maybe this is just a small little technical eligibility issue. We'll get a release something about it was resolved, right? But what happens if they get a letter of a notice of allegations from the NCAA saying that they believe there are NCAA issues here? Also within the realm of possibility.
I mean, it is. I mean, it all comes back to the one question. It's like, how easy can you tie it to Penny Hardaway?
Well, that's the other thing. I think there's a real possibility that if there is an NCAA issue here, mm-hmm. And by the way, we know the NCAA doesn't care about money anymore, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, kind of, but
they care about academic. Yeah, they care about deeply about money, but they don't
they
care.
Punted.
Right? They punted on the money stuff.
Yes.
They trying to maintain some relevance. It might be academic stuff. That's our sweet
student
spot.
Athletes.
That's what we really care about, right? And despite what the fact that we didn't do anything in North Carolina way back when, so I think there's a possibility that you could get a notice of allegations about that situation, and not have it involve Penny Hardaway, just have it involve academic advising.
Sure,
right? And Penny would just be, in a sense, one of the victims of that, you know, in the sense that he didn't, well, whatever, this academic advisor or whatever else, this thing was happening and Penny didn't know about it and shouldn't have known about it because academic advising isn't his area of expertise. So I think that's very possible, too.
Yeah, I mean, to me, like, that's really what it all boils down to is, like, can you tie it to him? But I really do think, like, in the end, this is not going to, the end of Penny Hardaway is not going to be a judge's decision. Like, in the end, it's going to be a knockout one way or the other.
That's interesting. So you think if, for example, I'm going to put on a hypothetical here. There's a notice of allegations. Can I make it as complicated as I can?
Okay.
There's a notice of allegations of academic impropriety.
All right.
Not related to the coach.
Okay.
Okay. Does involve Malcolm Dandridge.
It involves one of his players, but there's no direct tie
to Penny, okay? And then Penny has a year that is not just belly flop awful, but is Not an NCAA tournament year.
Let's just say a mediocre year.
A mediocre year. They're towards the end. They're towards the top of the conference, but they don't make the tournament.
All right.
You think in that circumstance...
Tie goes to Penny.
And he's back another year. And you don't, in fact, have to fire him.
No.
You just have another year, Penny Hardaway.
In the end, who's going to want to pull that trigger?
I think that's... And by the way, I'm not even sure that's inappropriate.
No, that's
because I have also said this, that I think Penny...
He deserves every benefit of the doubt because he is Penny Hardaway.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. It would be something you would have to grapple with, but I also think they would say...
It's going to be wildly uncomfortable, but that's what happens.
And they would say to themselves, we want to give him every chance.
Yes.
And so unless it is absolutely, totally clear-cut, that either he wants to move on or he cannot be allowed to stay. If, for example, level one academic impropriety directly tied to Penny Hardaway, then or a 6-win conference season or something like that, then otherwise, not only do you think he would return, you think he should return.
Yes. In the end, that's part of the decision that was made.
I think that's a fair. Now, here's the truth, though. Larry didn't get that.
I know, but
Larry did not get that.
I think it's all related.
Larry should have gotten that. Larry should have gotten until it's 100% clear he's not getting it done. And instead, they went to the NCAA tournament the year before they fired Larry.
Now, the other flip side of this, and like I acknowledge, let's live in the real world. I mean, what if Penny gets sideways with some of the biggest money people?
Oh, well, that would be an issue.
Now, I don't suspect that's going to happen. But
oh no, if
the pressures of a bad season can
if Fred and Bill Laurie, Fred isn't invested in basketball anyway. But so if Bill Laurie says we got to get rid of Penny, and I'll, by the way, pay the check for the payoff Penny and get the new guy and whatever else, that becomes different. Even having this discussion right now is not like fun, you know. Particularly when
these are how people make decisions, though.
If you go back to you know, before Penny was hired, like Gary and I were campaigning, you know, for it for months that Penny is the guy, and so you absolutely hope that this is not even anything that matters. You hope that it doesn't matter because he has a triumphant season or at least a tournament season. I don't even need him to go to the, I don't need him to go to the second weekend. I just need him to be back, just a bounce back year that shows some progress, right?
But need a reset year.
It doesn't help when you see churn in the staff again, when you see, you know, the strength coach comes back for a year and then leaves again, you know, you got one scholarship player returning, one.
I will say though, the strength coach leaving, at least this is one you can tangibly point. That's going to a different.
He's going. I get that. Like it's you can. One scholarship player. That's not the way to build a program.
Now, I mean, the argument would be potentially unlike other years where you've just completely redone it.
Guys who could become more than one
foundational pieces. Now, I also am always the guy that points out. I understand that, and that's a good thing. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it is always year to year.
Right. And despite the turnover in the staff, the guy who matters the most, Rick Stansberry, is back.
Correct.
And so that lends to that lends some sense of stability to the enterprise. And here's the other thing, and I mentioned this in the column. Whatever you think of where Penny is right now or how tenuous it looks right now or how troubled it looks right now or whatever else, doesn't look anywhere close to where Silverfield was a year ago, right?
Oh, absolutely not.
Not even close. And here Ryan Silverfield is. He's and people never loved Ryan Silverfield like they love Penny. He doesn't have the history here. He doesn't like. And here he is in the course of a year when he didn't even win the conference. He has completely turned it around. He's got a new contract, and there's momentum heading into the new year. So if Ryan Silverfield can do it without even winning the conference, there's no reason Penny can't do it.
The problem, though, is Penny's still got, like, I don't know if Penny can really do it without winning the conference.
No, unless Penny can't. You got to win the conference. Got to get to, well, you got to get to the NCAA tournament.
Right.
All right. How good do you think this AD job is? What's the biggest strength it has? What's the biggest strength?
The biggest strength that it has is it's people care about sports.
Right. People care about it.
The problem that I have is, A, I have no idea what it pays. What are you allowed to bring staff-wise? What are the expectations? Like, is it going to be held against you if you don't ever get them into another league? You know,
I think that's an interesting question. We mentioned this briefly yesterday. It is great to be the best, and I think they are arguably the best program outside the Power Five. You can make arguments, but I think, you know, they're certainly in the discussion for being the best.
I'm 100% with you.
The problem with being the best program outside of the Power Five is your fan base thinks you should be next up and get into the Power Five.
Right.
And
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.